In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we hear the awful yet wonderful account of Jesus' suffering, death, and burial for us, we are at once astonished at all he went through in order to redeem sinners, and eternally grateful that he was willing to suffer all of this for us. For truly it was for us men and for our salvation that Jesus came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. In hearing the gospel of Jesus' passion in conjunction with the selected Psalms and the readings from Isaiah 53, we are also shown very clearly that the events of Holy Thursday and Good Friday didn't just happen to Jesus. He certainly wasn't the victim of an incredible series of unfortunate but random events. He wasn't even merely the victim of a vast conspiracy to get him out of the way once and for all. There was a conspiracy against him. But what would happen to Jesus had been recorded in sacred scripture many centuries before his enemies hatched their plot against him, before even the great-great-grandparents of any of the actors in this drama had been born. No, Jesus' suffering and death were not a coincidence, nor simply the result of a malicious plot by Jewish leaders jealous of their perquisites. Jesus' suffering and death were central to God's eternal plan for the salvation of the world. We've seen that throughout the scripture readings this evening and in our text from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. The prophet writes, "He assigned his grave with the wicked, but with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. He, that is, God, assigned his, that is, Jesus' grave with wicked men. Jesus was crucified between two robbers, more than just sneak thieves. They were violent criminals. Clearly, they were wicked men. Outside of Palestine, those executed on a cross could expect their corpse to be left hanging. Out of deference to the customs of the Jews, because their scriptures describe the lack of burial as an abomination, the Romans permitted those who had been crucified in Palestine to be buried. But they wouldn't have been given an honorable burial, a place in a potter's field, perhaps. An unmarked pauper's grave was the best that they could hope for. God assigned Jesus a grave with wicked men, though he had done no violence. In spite of the fact that Jesus had always been kind and compassionate, in spite of the fact that he took care of others rather than harming them, he was assigned a place with wicked men. Why? Isaiah's prophecy doesn't leave us in any doubt. It was for you and for me. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God assigned Jesus to die with wicked men, although he had done no violence, so that in his innocent suffering and death, he could bear the punishment of a whole world of sinners, the punishment they had earned. On the cross, he carried a burden he didn't deserve, so that you wouldn't be crushed under the punishment you have deserved. Yet though God assigned Jesus to die with wicked men, and so to be numbered with the transgressors, Jesus would nevertheless be with a rich man in his death. Joseph of Arimathea, who Matthew pointedly describes as a rich man, asked Pilate for permission to take Jesus' body down from the cross for burial. When Pilate agreed, Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. The fact that Joseph owned a new tomb carved into solid stone just outside of Jerusalem in itself shows that he was a wealthy man. There was no finer type of tomb to be had in Palestine, and no location more desirable among the Jews than in the vicinity of Jerusalem. Because he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, God assigned Jesus to be with a rich man in his death, to have his remains laid to rest in a dignified and honorable fashion. Though, as we know, they didn't stay there for long. This too was done for us. None of us is likely to have a tomb carved into the stone of a hillside as the resting place for our earthly remains. Nevertheless, at the cemetery we pray, Almighty God, by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death. By his rest in the tomb, you sanctified the graves of your saints. And by his bodily resurrection, you brought life and immortality to light, so that all who die in him abide in peace and hope. When the bodies of those who have trusted in Christ are buried, they share the dignity and honor of a holy resting place, a place where the holy Son of God has gone before. This is certainly a great privilege, but the real richness of burial with Christ comes through the guarantee he gives that all who die in him abide in peace and hope, that their bodies will be raised surely so that they may share in the priceless riches of life with Christ forever. God assigned Jesus his grave with wicked men, but with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. And he did this all for us, so that by his grace through faith, we might be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. The Lord, in his mercy, through Jesus Christ, grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may believe. For these things took place, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Preserve me, O God.
For in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord.
I have no good apart from you.
As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones.
In whom is all my delight.
The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply.
Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out. Or take their names on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup.
You hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance.
I bless the Lord, who gives me counsel.
In the night also my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices.
My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol.
Or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.